Good morning. Wow, the Lord has really prepared this place for this word. And pray with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that the words that go out are from your heart, are spoken in your will, and reach those who you seek to reach that need to know the truth about Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, and I say that because there's, you know, things are happening this morning that are like in my sermon and exemplify what's in my sermon. So, I'm always, my biggest fear when I'm speaking is, am I actually conveying what God wrote in here that he wants you to know? And so, that is my prayer. We are looking at John chapter 14, verse 6. So if you could turn there with me, we're going to read from 1 to 6 together. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. And if we could stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Amen. Please be seated. And in that passage, you know, that is one of my favorite passages. I even got a ring at the fair. I went to wear it today so I could show it to you, but I forgot it. But it has that verse on there. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And I just love that passage because it says so much. And it contains so much. And it refutes so much of what the world wants us to believe, and so many of the lies about God and who God is. And it's just amazing that it refutes those lies so strongly. And in the center of that, Jesus says, I am the truth. And when Jesus proclaimed that he was the truth, he was at odds with those who claimed that there is no absolute truth. Since Satan addressed Eve in the garden, mankind has questioned truth itself. Did God really say? The total sum of Satan's seduction of Eve was that there is no truth. He that claimed to be truth, God, was a liar. That's what Satan was saying to Eve. God's a liar. He's withholding stuff from you. He's not telling you everything. The things he told you about the tree of life and himself, that's all a lie. You shouldn't believe that. I believe that therefore part of the sin nature of man is to doubt truth, to question what truth really is. In John chapter 18, 37 to 38, Jesus tells Pilate that he came to testify to the truth. And what was Pilate's response? What is truth? As if truth did not exist, or as if truth could not possibly be known. Many people to this day hold to the idea that there is no absolute truth. Well, the statement that there is no absolute truth is all the proof that we need to say that there is an absolute truth. Because that statement in itself is posited as an absolute truth. That statement in itself testifies against the belief that there is no absolute truth. Thankfully, Jesus presented himself to show us that there is an absolute truth. He is that absolute truth. In John 14:6, Jesus did not say that he tells the truth. He did not say that he knows the truth. He did not say that he teaches the truth. Jesus said to his disciples, past and present, and to the world, that he is the truth. Jesus is the truth in word, Jesus is the truth in deed, and Jesus is the truth in person. The Bible tells us that the word of God is true. Jesus is the embodiment of the word of God. Jesus is the embodiment of the Old Testament scriptures. He is the truth of the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus does not represent the truth of the scriptures. Jesus does not prove the truth of the scriptures. Jesus is the truth of the scriptures. And if we look at verses like Isaiah 53:5, yes. Now, normally I don't like to do slides because they just mess me up. So far, so good. If we look at Isaiah 53:5, it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. And if we can look at Psalm 22, for the dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. And finally, Exodus 12. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on two doorstops and on the lintel of the houses which they eat. And they shall eat the flesh at that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat. And verse 13, the blood shall be signed for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you and to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And when we look at these passages, Jesus is these passages. Jesus tells the Jews that the truth of who they are, that the truth of what they believe, and the truth of who they worship, the one true God, Yahweh, is him. If we look at John, you're going to skip one here, Jessica, John 5:39-47. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness of me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? If the Jews deny Jesus, then they deny the truth of God's word. Jesus is saying that he is the truth that is contained in God's word. As we learn in John chapter 1, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And that is universally, even by Jehovah's Witnesses, recognized talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He is the Logos. Jesus is God's Word in all its reality and perfection. He is the Word. And God's Word is true. He is the truth. Jesus is the truth in the Word. He doesn't only speak it, he is it. All those passages that we just read, they were Jesus. They weren't just about Jesus, they were Jesus. They were truth. They were the truth that the Jews that were criticizing him could see right in front of them. And he tells them, you believe, your whole life is wrapped up in the Old Testament writings. Your whole life is wrapped up in the culture and the theology that is represented by Moses, by Abraham, men that you revere, men that you follow, men that you will stone people for chastising and criticizing. And I am that truth that your life is wrapped up in. That's what he was saying to them. I am that truth. Those words are me. You are anchored in that. Without that, if anyone criticizes that, if anyone tries to break that down, you are lost. You have nothing. You feel like you cannot allow or tolerate that path, that richness of your life to be destroyed. Well, I am that. And that's what Jesus was telling them. Those who believe in God believe his word is true. Jesus is that true word that we believe in. Jesus is the truth of God's word. If you believe in God's word, if you get up in the morning and you study your Bible, if you have distress in your life and you repeat a Bible verse that gives you comfort and gives you peace, if you are, like we were in the men's retreat, we were given a little help on growing in Jesus Christ. And Kim challenged us to pick one word, one man, one word, one verse. And pick a word that you needed to grow on. Something that you're a little bit faltering on in your walk with Jesus. And then pick a Bible verse to go with that word that you can rely on and turn to in order to help you grow. And in that word, we have Jesus. Because Jesus helps us grow in him. Jesus helps us follow him. So Jesus is the truth in word. Jesus is the truth in all that he does. Everything he does is true. At Jesus' trial, he was falsely accused. In John chapter 18, 19 to 24, it says, the high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered them, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me that I said to them. They know what I said. When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, is that how you answer the high priest? Jesus answered him, if what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me? Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Just as Jesus testified at his trial, he was always upfront, straightforward, and truthful in every action that he took. Now the Pharisees were running around trying to catch him doing something wrong. But Jesus wasn't hiding. He wasn't meeting in secret rooms. He wasn't trying to avoid the Pharisees. As he testified at his trial, he was always in the open. He was upfront and open about everything that he did. Jesus is the truth. He never felt that he had to act in secret, that he had to keep an eye out for the Pharisees because they might catch him doing something wrong. Jesus was caught several times by the Pharisees doing things that they considered to be sinful and wrong. But their accusations of wrongdoing could never stick because Jesus' actions proved to be true. In Mark 3, verses 1 through 6, again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, Is it unlawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill? But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, his hand, and it was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held a council at Herodians against him to destroy him. And then again, in Matthew 21, 12 through 17. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of money, of the money changers, and to the seat of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things he had did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant, and they said to him, "Do you hear what these people are saying?" And Jesus said to them, Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise? And leaving them, he went out to the city of Bethany and lodged there. The Pharisees were always attempting to catch Jesus in doing something wrong. But every time they tried it, he showed them that his actions were always righteous, holy, and godly, and of God. He never took an action that they could prove to be wrong. They always left murmuring and mumbling and being angry because they did not catch him doing anything wrong. Jesus lived a perfect life. Every deed that he committed, every act that he did was holy, righteous, and godly and representative of God and was good and served God and served man all the way up until the day he gave his life for us. No one can criticize Jesus. You know, a lot of people will criticize Christianity. A lot of people will criticize Christians. But you rarely hear anyone criticize Jesus. Even non-believers hold Jesus up and revere Jesus as a good man, as a good teacher, as a good person. There is nothing that they can point to criticize Jesus. But that's so hypocritical. They don't believe that he's the Messiah. They don't believe that he's our Lord and Savior. They don't believe that he came down from heaven in order to save us. They don't believe that he's the Son of God. There's a writer, Carrie, help me with this. He says, "You're either he's a liar, lunatic, or Lord." C.S. Lewis, as quoted by Josh McDowell. Says if he can't be all three. If you look at his life, you would have to see that he went around teaching people that he is God, that salvation only comes through him. He said that he is the truth, not a truth, but the truth. If you want to know the truth, come to me and I will lead you to the truth. I am the way to God. I am salvation. Without me, you are doomed. Now, if he's such a good man, and he is not the Savior, he is not the Messiah, he has to be a liar, or he has to be crazy. He cannot be all three. And because of the perfect life that he lived, the true life that he lived, that's the only options he leaves us with. But yet, you'd have to walk through 100 people before you can find one that will call Jesus a liar. You'd have to walk through 100 people before you find one that will call Jesus a lunatic. Think about it in your life. When you have conversations with people about Jesus, do they just go off on him? "What, you follow that nut? Are you crazy?" No. They say like, "Well, how can you?" No, the Bible's a million years old. It's been changed a lot. You can't believe it. But that Jesus, he's a good guy. Your pastor, you know, he's just brainwashing you. He just wants your money. He just wants to drive around in his old truck. But they won't say anything bad about Jesus. They criticize everything else but Jesus. Why? Because he lived a perfect and true life. When Jesus declared that he is the truth, that was a statement that he could not make if it was not supported by his actions and deeds. And, you know, Pastor Dave told us, and I read about this morning also, the bombings of the churches in Egypt. And the bombings were committed by Muslims. Now, not to disparage another belief system, but to simply teach history, because I am a history teacher, they were following the example of their founder. They were following the example of their leader. That's just a fact. That is how he spread Islam through the Middle East. By killing, by pillaging, by threatening, by force. Now, when people look to our founder of our faith, and no, it's not Paul, because the Bible doesn't say it was Paul. The Bible tells us that the founder of our faith is Jesus Christ. So don't let anybody tell you who your founder is. Our founder tells us that. And when we look to Jesus Christ, we see who we follow. Because we don't see retaliatory bombings of mosques by those Christians in Egypt. We see our brothers and sisters around the world through the love of Christ coming to their aid. And we see them go and build up Muslim mosques that have been through fires or floods. And so Jesus had to live this true life in order for the world to follow him. In order for us to be able to point to him, to those who don't know him, and say, Jesus is the truth. All his deeds are true. Not only are his deeds true, he is true. Last week, one of my students stopped me and he said, Mr. Tyler, you're real. And what he meant by that was, and this is what they mean, like he can believe everything I say. Even if he doesn't like it, at least he knows that I'm being truthful. I'm being real. And he said, I'm not fake. And that's the big thing with kids. They don't want you to be fake. Okay? They don't want you to act like you're their buddy. And sometimes they appreciate when you tell them that I'm not going to give you extra credit points for you to pass and graduate. And when we leave that office, the result is going to be you're going to get a summer school application and you're not going to graduate with your friends. Now I'm going to do everything I can to help that not happen, but you got to do something too. And that's, they appreciate that truth. And so in that, he says that he appreciates that I'm real in that. But the Greek word for truth is aletheia, aletheia. But the same word is used for reality. The same word is used for reality. Jesus is not just real, though. He's not one who acts in truth. But Jesus is reality. Jesus' actions are truth. Jesus declared that he is the personification of truth. He is the personification of the true word. All his deeds and action, we can look to it and point to it and say, that's truth. But finally, there was just a plain and simple meaning to what Jesus said when he says, I am the truth. The most obvious meaning would be that he is God. The Bible teaches us that the concept of truth is derived from the character of God. God is truth. Where do we get truth from? God. Plain and simple. God is truth. And he's the exact opposite of lying. It is impossible for God to lie because he is truth. Lying is not part of his nature. And people try to get, well, is there anything God can't do? Well, he can't lie. Oh, he can't lie. I thought he could do everything. Well, I'm sorry. I can't be a woman. Why? Because it's not my nature. It's just not what I am. Lying is not what God is. Everything God says is true because he is ever existing. He is not created. He is where we go to for truth. If he says it, it's true. If someone contradicts what he says, that's a lie. That's where we get truth and lies from. We need to understand that. And we can look at some scriptures that tell that God is true. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said that he will not do it, or he has spoken and has he spoken and will not make it good? 1 Samuel 15:29. Also, the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. Hebrews 6:18. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. And see, and Jesus is truth. That's why we have that hope in him. That's why we have that trust in him. With all the lying and all the junk going on in the world, we can look to Jesus because he is truth. And why is he truth? Because he is God. And God is truth. The Bible clearly teaches us that Jesus is God. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And again, universally accepted that the Word is Jesus. In John 8:56-58, one of my favorite passages, and I think this is the most bold statement of Jesus, that he is God. And he said this to leave no doubt. I don't have it on the slide, but he's talking to the Jews, and he tells them that he is the day that Abraham was waiting for. And they said, how do you know Abraham? You're not yet 50 years old. You can't know what Abraham was thinking. You didn't talk to Abraham. You didn't see Abraham. How can you tell us about Abraham? And Jesus' reply was, before Abraham was, I am. What a weird statement. Before Abraham was, I am. Who talks like that? But why did he talk like that? Because he wants to pierce their hearts. When Moses, their great father Moses, went to the mountain and asked, who shall I tell them sent me? God's reply was, tell them that I am has sent you. And they knew that. And how do we know that they understood that? Because they tried to stone him for blasphemy. They picked up stones and raised the stone as soon as he said that. And so there's no doubt that the Bible teaches that Jesus is God. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, God is talking to the prophet, and he's telling the prophet what to say. And he says, tell them that they pierce my side. He didn't say tell them they pierce Jesus' side. God said they pierce my side. And we know that they pierced Jesus' side. Jesus is God. So when he said that I am the truth, I am God. God is the truth. That's what he was saying. So what did Jesus mean to us when he declared that he is truth? What does that mean to us? We look at John 8:31 to find out what that means for us. So Jesus said to the Jews who have believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not just the spoken truth, Jesus Christ will set you free. Because he is the truth. He is truth. He is truth in word. He is truth in deed. He is truth in the person of God. And in him, we are set free. What Jesus' statement means to us is that in him, we can be free of sinful words. We can be free of sinful words that try to lead us from the love of the Father, that lead us into sin. In Jesus, we can be free from false teaching that leads us to false gods and false beliefs. In Jesus, we can be free from hurtful words of a spouse or a parent. In Jesus, we can be free from words that demean, from words that we come up with, that lead us away from him. Because in him, we find the truth of the way things should be. In him, we make sense of the sin around us. I look and this is what a family is supposed to be, but my family is not like that. And I don't understand it. And I'm going to try to understand it by finding some words that will explain it to me. I'm going to try to understand it by doing some things that will help it make me feel better. I'm going to try to understand it by finding some person that will change it for me. But none of that ever helps you understand anything. The only person that can help you understand it is the truth, and that is Jesus Christ. And so even in the midst of those hurtful words, even in the midst of the confusing life that we might have, we can see the truth and be comforted in the truth, with the truth, and in who the truth is, which is the love of God. And so that's what Jesus wants us to see in him, the truth. What Jesus' statement means to us is that in him we can be free from the sinful actions that we commit, because he has taken on the punishment for them already. And we can be free from the wrath that is stored up for sinners. The truth sets us free from that. Jesus sets us free from that. In Jesus, we are no longer slaves to sin. We are set free. The truth sets us free. In Jesus, we will strive to commit actions that glorify God, that serve God, and that serve others. Only in him and his truth can we have a heart that leads us to do that. We will be eternally free from the sinful actions in the world around us. The sin that fills this world, or even what people do to us, will have no effect on our relationship with God. In Jesus Christ, nothing can separate us from the love of God. In Jesus Christ, nothing has separated our brothers and sisters in Egypt, in that church, from God. The truth of his actions, of his deeds, of who he is, protects us from our own sinful actions and from the sinful actions of others. We find that truth in Jesus Christ. What Jesus' statement means to us is that in him we are free from the wrath of a holy, righteous, and just God for the sin that we choose to love more than him and the love that he has for us. Jesus is the embodiment of the one true God, who gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. He is God. And God knows that there is no sacrifice worthy to forgive us our sins but perfection. He is perfection. Jesus is God. That perfection came down in the form of a man and went to the cross to pay for our sins. And he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So in verses, so he goes on, and in chapter 14, he says, I am the truth. You will know the truth. I am the truth. You will know me. When you know me, I will set you free from all of these things. Jesus is that elusive absolute. People want to believe that there is no absolute truth. And you know what? To be quite honest, without Jesus Christ, you really don't have much of an argument. Because everything else beyond, without Jesus Christ, is not true. Oh yeah, there's truth in the world for people who don't have Jesus Christ. That's simply because God is truth and God is in this world. And his spirit is here. And we just can't escape his truth. But that doesn't mean that your life is about truth. Without Jesus Christ, your life is not about truth. He tells us that. He is the truth. So if you want truth in your life, you must have Jesus Christ. That is the declaration that he is making. If you want your life to be about truth, you must have Jesus Christ in your life. That is the declaration that he is making. If you want to know the one true God, You must have Jesus Christ in your life. That is the declaration that he is making. Jesus is that elusive absolute truth that we're all searching for. God is the absolute truth. Jesus is not only the way to that God. Jesus is that God. And only in Jesus Christ will we discover the freeing absolute truth that God the Father offers. And that's what he's trying to get his disciples to see. Stop looking. You don't have to look for the way. I am that way. I am that truth. I am that life. And if you're out there looking for truth because your life just seems like a bunch of lies, and it seems that lately at school, I'm coming across a lot of students that are just grasping on to lies. And the sad thing about it is our public school system has taken the tact of encouraging them in those lies and supporting them in those lies. And I just want to scream out. They're lying to you. And the only truth that you will find is in Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He will make sense of what's going on in your life that doesn't make sense to you. He will put love in a life where you don't think you know what love is. And you know what? It's not about him finding a bunch of people to love you. It's about him loving you and then you loving him and understand what love is and being able then to go love people that are unlovable in your mind because you have Jesus' heart in your heart. And to Jesus, there is no one that's unlovable. And even though you may think someone doesn't love you, then that will become something that you just don't understand. How can you not love someone? And then as Christians, we are not loving to people, but we're convicted. Who are you not to love that person? What makes you so much better? What makes your actions so much more righteous that you think you have the right not to love? Jesus Christ is the way, the life, and the truth. And in our lives, if we want peace and we want contentment and if we want satisfaction, we need truth. And Jesus has declared here that he is the truth. Amen.